NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
This is the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Hockey is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. It's you, the diehard supportive fans, your favorite players who are on the team you cheer for and the organization who supports them.
The companies that make your gear, bags, and beer league sweaters, the hockey moms and hockey dads, and everything else that makes this House of Hockey your home. Come on in. I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray.
And this is our house.
Welcome to the House of Hockey podcast, episode 134. I'm one of your hosts, Breezy.
And I'm your other host, Ray Ray.
And this week we are talking about a few things, like every week. I don't know why I started off saying that. That was kind of weird.
We've got a whole list of rundown of content to get to. We've got our brand new segment that we are debuting. Hunk of the week, because Breezy is back, baby, and so is Hunks of Hockey. Her Instagram account. And Breezy came up with this brilliant idea to do a hunk of the week. And so we reached out to you all on social, and I'm gonna read your responses and we'll chime in with ours. And then we've got some other things to talk about. Plus, we have a guest.
We do.
I don't know why I did that. You tell everybody about the guest.
Yeah, Jeff McLean, of the co-founder of Pry Tape. He's going to talk about what's new with Pry Tape and what's going on for upcoming events that they have coming. Or maybe he didn't talk about that. Maybe that was private.
That's okay.
I don't know.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Sneak peek. And a book that was released that was related to them called Who's Hockey. Great book. I loved it. Illustrations are incredible. Do you want to open it up, Miss Kindergarten Teacher?
Yes.
There you
go. It's a children's book, and it is in they teamed up with the NHL and Hockey is for Everyone, and it's a book about acceptance, and the tagline is search for teammates and you'll find friends. And Jeff tells us all about how the book came about, how it's helping people, how you can get involved in supporting acceptance and really living out what it means when the league says hockey is for everyone. And then it's not always easy for people who don't feel accepted. And it's a great conversation. So he's coming up in a little bit, but we've got a lot to discuss.
Yeah. So you might as well get to it.
Okay.
What are we starting with?
I think we should start with the All-Star stuff, because we missed some of that during our taping. So, and it's still ongoing this week. People are still, fans can vote in their extra All-Stars. So I've got a little bit of a bone to pick about two players who were voted in as All-Stars. And I'm sure that will come as no surprise to some of you, especially of like the one person. But NHL Hockey Operations Department decides the initial list of All-Stars. Obviously, they pick one from every team, if not more, in the respective divisions. I have some hard no's, and for legit reasons, that I would like to discuss. But do you have anything else nice to say about the All-Star roster thus far?
No, not really. For me, I think it's always very predictable who's going to be there, right? And I feel like it needs to be, I guess I understand why the All-Stars is the All-Stars, but sometimes I want fresh faces in there, and sometimes maybe someone needs to take a step back and let, you know, maybe someone who has a little bit more assist than to their goals, and not calling anybody out in specific. However, I think we need a fresh slew of faces there.
Yes. And the fans get to vote in who they want to be there. So we do have some say. So I was about to go in and vote because I was so irritated at the choice that was selected for my team, the Chicago Blackhawks, that I was like, that's it. I'm voting. And I have to create an account and I was running out of time. So I will go back and vote. But let me pick my bone here. Okay.
Okay. I don't even remember who was even voted in for the All-Stars. It's okay.
So I'll just, I don't want to read through everybody, but you can go look it up online, but I'm going to just stick with the Central Division. The person who was chosen from the Chicago Blackhawks was Seth Jones. Okay. Let's unpack this for a second. So he's been out with an injury for like most of the season. He's only got 16 total points when there is another player on our team, Max Domi, who has 30 points. He's above Patrick Kane and above Jonathan Toews. Why the hell wasn't he chosen? I know they have to pick a certain number of defensemen and forwards and only one goaltender and blah, blah, blah. But like, that is such a baffling choice to me of like, if you're going off of like, what are you ranking as an all-star? Why are we, how on earth does he qualify just on like points and statistics alone as an all-star? So that was like a little frustrating. And I think the other head scratcher for me, and this is like a tough subject because of this player's loss in his family, but Kevin Hayes was the one chosen off of the Flyers. And there's like better player, Travis, is it Konecki? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got 46 flipping points, 24 goals, 22 assists. I mean, Hazy's killing it on the assists. He's got 10 goals, excuse me, and 27 assists with 37 points. So like, that's still like super exciting and he's having a great season and like all of that is great, but I'm just kind of like, but really, like, okay. I mean, I'm sure it means a lot to him and I'm not trying to take away from any of the like hardships off the ice he's dealt with, which is like serious and we've talked about that, but like just on stats alone I was kind of confused.
I mean,
no comment. You're just gonna let me hang out there with my frustration in players. Yeah,
just hang out over there. No, you're not wrong. I would like to know what like the criteria are because things are questionable for sure. But hey, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, there's a few head scratchers in there, but
go vote. Maybe that's just a reason to make people go vote and interact. Right. Maybe it's a good marketing play. I don't know either. Questionable.
Yeah. I mean, like Patrick Kane is still alive and well, and like still a member of the Blackhawks last time I checked. And like, but Domi
would be a good choice for the Hawks to put on there. If Domi you want a fresh face.
Yes. I mean, even Taylor Radish is having an incredible season, you know, but like it, I mean, listen, it's hard when your team sucks all in all and, you know, you've got to pick the best of a bad situation. Yeah. But like the Seth Jones, I just, I don't know. I'm not here for it. And that's all I have to say about that.
That's all you got to say. I mean, even like the Kings, like Fiala's up Fiala. There.
Yeah.
Obviously, like he's doing good. Can't complain about that. But yeah. For a new face, like, why don't you put like Gabe Vilardi up there, who started off the season being absolutely incredible, or like a Trevor Moore?
Yeah, Trevor Moore, right.
That would be cool. I mean, Trevor Moore's injured right now, but fresh face. At least it's not like a Doughty or Kopitar, because I feel like I don't think that they have done enough this season to make it to the All-Star. However, they've already been there.
True, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't go again.
That's true.
I mean, I hear your point. It's like, I mean, Kevin Fiala for sure deserves. He's got 47 points, 16 goals and 31 assists. Jesus Christ. But Kopi, Danault, and Arvidsson all have like mid 30s with their points right now. So you could argue that any of
What's more at Trevor Moore?
Oh, he's way down. He's only got 19 total.
Yeah, but just his, I don't know. I think I'm just a Moore fan at this point. So
I mean, there's
Sean Durzi would be cool, even though, I mean, he's playing really well. Makes some mistakes, but
why not Danault? Philip Danault.
There's no reason. Yeah, he can go.
Right.
I mean, I think I voted for him, actually.
So you've already done the fan vote then.
Yeah, but I'm going to do it again because you can do it like every day.
Yeah, I don't know if I can commit to that. I know I should if I really want to make my vote matter, but
you can
I
do
will
10 votes a day every day. I think
that's a lot of voting,
but you can like redo your vote. Like you can do it like 10 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So feel real confident if you're going to do the 10 vote.
Okay. I will.
Yeah.
Okay. I will. I'm going to do my best to show my support and put my action behind my words.
There you go.
How about Kevin Fiala? What is this note you have about Kevin Fiala and Roman Josi?
Okay, so I've noticed more recently that Fiala and Josi have like the same eyes. They look the same. And it's probably because they're both from... Yeah, they have like the same like look. Like right here, they look the same. And I think it's because they're both from Switzerland. I think that's like the Swiss look.
So is he a new hunk of yours, Kevin Fiala?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I see what you see. I see what you see.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I don't really know if that was like worth like mentioning on here, but it was just a note that I wanted to share with you. But hey, we said it, so it's fine.
Well, here we are. Let's talk about the return of hunks of hockey.
The what? You cut out. Sorry.
Let's talk about, like, how do you not know what I said? Let's talk about the return of hunks of hockey.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean there. That's me.
That's you.
I text Ray and I was like, I think I'm gonna start this up again. And she goes, yes, you have to. And I was like, you know what? Let's just freaking do it. And I did it. Yeah. And it had a good response. Pretty good response.
Oh, yeah. I've been missing it. I'm not gonna lie. I've been missing it.
I have a lot of people who submitted requests. I think there was like 49 requests that came in, different players.
Oh my god.
So be patient. I will post. I just need to find photos and I just got to do it. You have 49 days worth of content coming. So I'm sorry if you don't see your guy right away. It's coming and there will be a Sagan Sunday. I don't know if I'll do it every Sunday though, because that's kind of a lot, but we'll see.
It's kind of nice though. I mean, it's in tradition, so.
That's true. So maybe I will stick to it.
Every time I see a hunky player, I just shoot you their picture in a DM. So, you know,
you do.
I just, as I'm reading social and like scrolling, I just shoot you. I look for a hunky player. So I sent Breezy a bunch, but she had this great idea to do a segment every week on the show, nominating our hunk of the week. And it could be, mm-hmm. I don't really think there's any real qualifiers. I think it should just mm-hmm. be like, it could be for any ridiculous reason because it's sort of a ridiculous thing anyway.
Yeah.
Like in a good way. Mm-hmm. So I put up a little poll on social. So I'm going to fire these off. And if any of them sound worthy to you of being in contention, you know what I mean? Let me know.
Yeah.
LJ Caps 70 nominates Garnet Hathaway, Laura Kanyer, Chris Kreider. Mm-hmm. Yael says Mikko Rantanen. What's wrong with me? Mikko Rantanen for always giving 110% no matter what.
Well, she the one that wanted me to do Mikko Mondays.
Probably. She's blonde.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Jake Wagner said McDavid for his socks. If you all didn't see this week, he has been revealed that McDavid wears the same pair of socks every game day since juniors or something.
That's funny. I like
just
it.
Like Crosby still wears his jock from juniors, like the old, it's like disgusting, yeah. Gross. I am liking Jake Wagner's choice of McDavid for the sole purpose because of his gross socks, but that doesn't really qualify as like hunk. So I don't know. Brent for Rent says Mike Ricci, the flow, missing teeth, goon, and Dustin D15 nominated Milan Lucic. Lucic. Can I tell you my nomination of hunk of the week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think it might be the same. No, it's Jake, I think it's different.
Jake Middleton?
Nope.
So Jake Middleton is my new favorite player. First of all, he is a total hockey guy. He has no front teeth. He doesn't wear his teeth in interviews. He is the one who originally started with the Minnesota Wild doing post-game interviews with tarps off, like shirtless. And he was interviewed about it by Biz on TNT during the intermission. And he's like, I run hot. Like I just showered. It's been 15 minutes. I'm in a sweater and I'm still sweating. And I just really resonated with him because I run hot. Like I'm always hot and melting, as you've probably heard on some of the episodes where I record in the summer. And I'm like, I stand up and I'm just like sweating and it's hot and I'm miserable and I hate it. So like, he's my hockey spirit, hot animal. Plus he's super good looking. He's got a great sense of humor and I'm here for it. Nice. That's my nomination. Who's your nomination?
That's your nomination. I'm going to go with Brent Burns only because he won a face-off against Sid. That's just what I'm going to go with.
Totally valid. Yeah. Here's two other people I think that should be considered this week.
Okay.
Patrick Laine. He scored his 10th hat trick.
Okay.
Kind of a big deal. And then Rod the Bod. I think Carolina Hurricanes head coach Rod Brind'Amour should be nominated because two things happened. He will be the coach of the Metro Division at the All-Star game. And then he also just had his 200th win as a head coach.
It's pretty good.
Now, who do we pick as the winner? Do we let the audience decide?
Out of those four?
Yeah.
Or out of like everybody? I still think McDavid sock wins.
McDavid sock wins. I think it's funny, but I don't think it qualifies as like, it just doesn't fit under the hunk name.
There's
like
no,
it gets honorable.
No qualifying things.
I know, but like if we're gonna get to like specific and logical about it, like hunk is like a positive quality, and I would dare say that wearing gross old socks is not a positive quality. So it gets fair. How about honorable mention asterisk next to McDavid, and then. I mean, I don't want to like bulldoze everybody and go with my guy, but like, so how, like, who is supposed to decide this? Maybe we don't.
No, there's
we
no deciding factor. It's just we're highlighting these individuals.
These are the four honorable mentions of hunk of the week. Yeah. So
we'll,
Connor
we'll
McDavid.
Post a picture of all of them.
Yes, in a little
in this
quad
video.
Box.
Yeah.
So to recap, McDavid gets an asterisk.
Yeah.
Your pick is?
Brent Burns.
Mine is Jake Middleton. And?
Patrick Laine?
No, Rod the Bod.
Rod the Bod. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll just do all of them. All of them's fine.
Just put like 20 pictures up.
Yeah.
All right. If you all have any feedback on how we should decide this, then let us know, because it's a new segment, guys. We're still working it out here. Okay. We got to talk about two other really wacky headlines that happened this week. You know where I'm going, right?
Oh, yeah, because I sent you one of them and I was like, I don't even have this guy. It can't be real.
Tell us.
Well, Blake Wheeler literally busted his balls. One of them, at least.
Ruptured testicle.
Yeah.
Get it together.
So it happened against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it was last month.
December 15th.
You probably didn't really want a lot of people to know that.
Lower body injury.
Definitely lower body injury.
It's not funny.
It's not funny. He was probably in a lot of pain, and I feel bad for him. But when I saw that, I was like, why didn't that come out sooner?
I know. I don't know if I should be sharing this here, but like I knew somebody who that happened to, but like they weren't a hockey player. Like sometimes things happen in that area and things can rupture and need to be removed. So I'll just leave it at that. And you know, that's like a sensitive subject for a lot of guys. They feel very strongly about their testicles. And I'm going to stop right there, but he's recovered.
He's doing fine.
And it's not funny, but it's funny.
He played through it, which is insane.
Yeah. So
maybe he's the hunk of the week for the entire month of December through January, December 15th through January 15th. That's all Blake Wheeler.
We're going to backdate it and pick a one for last week, the last month.
Yeah.
But okay, if you're going with that, then how do you not pick John Carlson of the Washington Capitals, who had to have his flipping ear reattached?
It's wild.
He got hit with a puck from a slap shot, or he got hit in the side of the head by a slap shot. And there was like, it was really bloody and gross and whatever. And like, they obviously, again, didn't reveal what happened or like what it was. And it wasn't until his wife posted like happy birthday or something on social and wrote this long post that was like, and you're incredible. Your ear was reattached and you carried out Christmas. And everybody was like, what? Your ear? Like, again, super serious, like funny, but not. And like, also just like, what is this headline? How is this happening? What's going on?
Wild. That's all I have to say.
I know. Did you also see that there was a professional female to complete the Michigan the IIHF Under 18 Women's World Championship?
Yeah, flawlessly. Without skipping a beat.
Butter. Yeah. Mila, forgive me, girl, Lopusanova. She's only 14. 14. She's from Slovakia. She's a forward. 14. Nailing the Michigan. It is here to stay, folks. If you don't like that kind of goal, it's here to stay. 14-year-olds are delivering on it in high-stakes games. It's here. It's happening. Women can do the Michigan, too.
Insane. That's just going to be the title of this episode. Wild, insane, who's hockey?
We're going to toss it on over to the interview with Jeff McLean, who is the co-founder of Pride Tape and the author, or he wrote the story about the book Who's Hockey. So enjoy our conversation, but make sure to stick around until after the interview, because Breezy is going to recap her experience at Lainey Wilson, and I might be going, and I'm really excited. And then also, we have to talk about Alexander Skarsgård. So stay tuned for some of that non-hockey related content after the interview with Jeff. This week's episode of the House of Hockey podcast is brought to you by
the NFL playoff action continues.
We're one step closer to Super Bowl 57. And for the NFL divisional round, check out DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Boost your NFL winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. New customers can bet $5 on the NFL divisional round and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Have you shopped at Pure Hockey? They are America's largest hockey retailer with dozens of stores and the option to shop online. If you or any of your kids play hockey, Pure Hockey is the place to find just about all of your equipment, skates, sticks, gear, bags, jerseys, and accessories. Plus, Pure Hockey is one of our affiliate partners. Next time you break your hockey stick or your kid grows out of his skates, why not check out purehockey.com? While you are looking for hockey equipment, you can also browse around for merchandise from your favorite NHL team, you know who Breezy's and mine are, and make gift giving even easier for your hockey-loving friends and family. And do us a favor, use our special link for purehockey.com when you browse the site and make a purchase, because we'll receive a small commission, which helps me and Breezy create this podcast. Head to the episode's show notes for the special direct link to shop at purehockey.com. Welcome back to the House of Hockey podcast. We have with us Jeff McLean. He is one of the co-founders of Pride Tape. And gee, we talked to you, what, in 2020?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. Nice to see you both again. This is great. Thank you.
Yeah. And absolutely. If people aren't aware of what Pride Tape is, Pride Tape is something that you guys started where it's hockey tape, but in rainbow color to be inclusive of the LGBTQ plus community. And you've been instrumental in helping many of the NHL teams host a Pride Tape night. I'm very excited about it. Can you tell? Where the players, a lot of the players have worn the tape on their sticks during pregame skate or warmups. And Curtis Gabriel, also friend of the podcast, has been instrumental in doing that. And you guys have so much more going on though. So that's just like a short little synopsis that I probably didn't get quite exactly right. But either way, Jeff, welcome.
You.
Tell us, what is the latest?
Well, the latest is with respect to Pride Tape that you mentioned. I mean, we're in, I think, over 39 countries now. And this is right now, it's 7 years to about a week hitting our original Kickstarter campaign that we did to raise the first, to make the money to make the first 10,000 rolls of tape, which we were successful in doing thanks to the Edmonton Oilers, who used a mock-up of it with six different rolls of tape. We had to go down to the arena and wrap the sticks. And, you know, they put the idea forward during their NHL All-Star Skills competition and it made the front cover of the newspaper the next day. And then the following day, it made the Guardian newspaper in the UK, as well as newspapers all around the United States, which really helped lift the exposure of the idea that we need a badge of support from the hockey world to the LGBTQ plus community, because we were working on another project at the time, which was called nohomophobes.com, which scraped homophobic tweets in real time off Twitter to just see how prevalent this hateful language was and needing to put a stop to it. So what we discovered is that homophobic language peaked during sporting events, people chirping at one another during NBA, NHL playoffs, again, Major League Baseball, and the granddaddy of them all coming up was the Super Bowl, was where the numbers spiked the most. So we said we should do something to address this around sports. And, you know, buying into the stereotypes and the fact that I'm Canadian, we chose hockey because we're here in Edmonton and we love it. And we have, you know, close friendships with the Edmonton Oilers and former players. Andrew Ferentz, who was captain of the Oilers at the time, came in and listened to the idea. And my best friend growing up, Bill Ranford, who's with the LA Kings, and, you know, he's got a 30 plus year career with the NHL. And he was really helpful into talking about locker room culture and what we could do. And so this badge of support that we created, we felt if you could do repeat patterns on hockey tape, you know, Batman logos, Hockey Canada logos, et cetera, could we do colors? So we spent a couple of months with a lot of white hockey tape and magic markers, and but figured out how to get it to work, and then, you know, talked to the NHL about it, and then it just kind of blew up from there, thanks to their global influence and all their friendships, and now that tape and friendships we've garnered over the 7 years has led us into creating a new children's book called Who's Hockey. So new things.
Oh, yeah.
Breezy
and I both have our copies with us.
Awesome.
We've read it.
I hope you like it.
Breezy, describe how you said it to me before we started.
Yeah, it's like a mixture of like the Mighty Ducks meets like the Sandlot, I feel like.
Wow. Awesome.
I like the story.
Thank you so much. It's basically great. It's basically my life. And then, of course, I got my two incredibly talented friends involved. Terry, she's in Newfoundland, and my friend Nicola, who lives here in Edmonton, and she's the illustrator on the book. And we just had a lot of fun. But certainly growing up, I was an Air Force brat, so moved around a lot. And it wasn't always easy, especially when I moved to Germany. Because then you add on top of that the language barriers and the cultural barriers. But what happened is I thankfully made the base team, which was easier because there was less of us kids. I wasn't so successful later on in my hockey career. And we also had Bill Ranford as our goalie, which helped us when we traveled around. But we played in France and Holland and Sweden and everywhere else. And we were billeted out with families. And you know, culturally, it was, you know, it was a wonderful opportunity, but it was sometimes hard to make friends because when you're in the military, you move in the summer when there's no school, so you don't miss any school. But what happens is all the kids are off on vacation, and therefore it was tough to meet anybody. But thankfully for me, hockey tryouts were always like late August, September before school started. So I got to meet new friends through hockey, so I didn't have to go into the new schools alone, which was sometimes daunting growing up. And I felt it, you know, somewhat, although it's many difficult challenges for the kids and the parents we spoke to from the LGBTQ community and others where the tape resonated, like women's hockey. We say, you know, girls and women's hockey championed the tape, the BIPOC teams all over North America and beyond champion the team. Any group of individuals that felt that maybe hockey wasn't for them, mm-hmm. Adopted the tape. And so I've learned a lot from talking with parents and kids over the last years and saying, you know, it's somewhat similar in that, you know, but a lot more difficult that you've lived in a place your whole life and you still don't feel welcome. And that wasn't right. And then when the NHL shared their declaration of principles with us and said, what do you think of this? And I said, well, it'd make a great kids book or, mm-hmm. or multiple, and then looked at what those words are. And then in alphabetical order, we said, okay, well, the first is acceptance, which to us made perfect sense, you know, working with Pride Tape, because acceptance is integral to the game, to growing the game. Like without it, you know, it's just not going to move forward. Too many kids were dropping out because they felt uncomfortable, and we need to get kids to be, you know, and their parents, you know, if we can bring kindness into this and acceptance and welcoming, you know, the better off the game's going to be. And there's so many hardworking programs and people out there that are doing the work in the arenas and in the schools addressing this as well. So we're just happy that we can contribute, you know, with the book, and then that the NHL trusted us enough with the relationship that we built with Pride Tape to do this. It was a really great experience working on this.
Yeah, and it's a great book. I enjoyed it. I actually read it four times this morning because I was like, I just want to keep reading it.
I haven't read it that many times.
I'm a number one fan.
You wrote it, Jeff. So, I mean, you know, read it quite a few times over in your editing process. But
yeah, the three of us wrote it. And, you know, my friend Terry, who I work with on a daily basis at an ad agency, she's a writer and she just made it, you know, what it is and made it so great. What was interesting with Terry is that she grew up in Newfoundland with five brothers and wasn't allowed to play hockey. She wanted to play hockey so bad. But her option was ringette back then. And now
what's a ringette?
So ringette is a stick with no blade and a rubber ring that you basically put your stick in and carry it around the ice and shoot it same way.
So kind of like a lacrosse, kind of, but not.
Yeah, it's kind of like lacrosse and hockey meet, but I'm a lot older than Terry, but even Terry growing up, I mean, not having that option to play hockey. Was really something that we wanted to address as well. And again, because of how thankful we are to women's hockey, to girls' hockey, and what they've done for Pride Tape and making sport more welcome. We always say that if it wasn't for, you know, the women's pro hockey leagues and all the way down through minor hockey, Pride Tape would not exist. That's the absolute truth. So it was important that our hero, Cam, was a girl that is the greatest hockey fan on the planet, loves playing it more than anyone, but actually moves to this mystical place that has never heard of the game before. And the other, you know, thread through this was that adversity can be overcome with positivity. You know, Cam, you know, could have taken her net home, and fortunately she met Lydia, but, you know, you could just roll up and crawl into a ball when you're hit with adversity. But she decides to take it head on and make new friends by introducing them to her favorite sport, which they hadn't heard of before. So that, you know, another theme is that we've really faced through Pride Tape more than anything is that you know, there's a lot of hate and a lot of adversity out there, and it gets to us a lot, but we just have to hit it with positivity back, and you'll find a lot of supporters, a lot of friends throughout the way. So we always say search for teammates and you'll find friends. And that's what we experienced through creating the tape.
Yeah. That's the awesome. Book is so well done. And the illustrations are absolutely beautiful.
I don't know if anyone's watching the video, but they want to see those illustrations.
Did you actually have a dog named Gordy?
And I was kind of hoping she'd be around here, but the real Gordy's name is Luna. That's my dog.
Darn.
And, My good friend Nicola, who illustrates the book, she's one of the most talented illustrators around. She can accomplish anything in any style. She's incredible, and people are really loving the illustrations. And what was nice about that is that she surprised me with Gordy, the dog, being Luna. I hadn't thought of that, but when she showed the first drawings, it was like, that's Luna. She goes, yeah, I know. I drew her from your Instagram feed,
that was
really amazing. And the name, while we were working on the book, there was the 100th anniversary celebration of the NHL, and there was an interview with Bobby Orr, Wayne Gretzky, and Mario Lemieux, and they were all asked who their favorite or who they thought the best hockey player of all time was, and they all said Gordie Howe, because, you know, he wasn't there, and they're all so generous, right, and kind, right, guys. So, you know, the dog, if Cam was the biggest hockey fan or is the biggest hockey fan in the world, the dog's got to be named Gordy.
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Love it. Where can people get the book? Where can they buy it?
They can get it almost anywhere, which is exciting because we didn't think that this would happen. But when you work with the NHL and have the NHL logo on your book, it helps, and we're grateful. But you can get it at online at Walmart, Target, and Amazon in the United States, as well as a lot of independent bookstores across the U.S. In Canada, it's available at Chapters Indigo, as well as a lot of independents and Amazon Canada. And then also it's available in other parts of the world as well. I think one of our first purchases was in Australia, who's always been really, really supportive of Pride Tape. So it's a global story, and we were asked yesterday if we could convert it into another language over in Europe. And so we're looking into that. We need to certainly convert it into French for our friends at the Montreal Canadiens and Quebec and beyond. So yeah, we're looking at other languages and hope to get the message out there that resonates with the kids. I mean, I think some of the best critiques besides yours, Breezy, your take on it, which I love. But you know, we've had parents tell us that when they read the book with their kids, you know, the diversity that we wanted to include in the characters in the book, we've had some children of mixed race families who, parents who have told us that they just are having a struggle finding their place in their class and in their school because they didn't see themselves physically like fitting in. And, you know, in a few instances, the parents told us, "Hey mom, I see me in the book." And it's like, that's beautiful. That's exactly what we want to have happen, is we want to have people see, you know, again, what we learned with Pride Tape is the importance of visibility, you know, is an amplification is so important. And the courage that people have to say that hockey is for everyone. I think some people take it lightly, but it's not easy. And some people, there has been backlash, and but thankfully we have people that have come back to us and said, you know, even when something negative happened to them or their family member because of the tape, the first thing when we call them to talk about it or find out about it, the thing that they always say first is, please, please don't stop what you're doing. Right. Please don't, you know, because we have our moments where the negativity on social is takes its toll. But thankfully, you know, to you both and all the other people that care and support us is really grateful, because it is helping people. We do see that out there. So thank you. And it, you know, it's important.
Definitely. Yeah. And congratulations on everything going on. I was really excited when we got it. And I text Ray right away and I was like, "Oh my God, did you see this?"
Yeah, we were stoked. And we also wanted to know, what else are you guys doing to help promote just inclusivity and acceptance in the sport of hockey? I know you're involved, you know, with the league, and I mean, I guess it's two questions. What are you guys doing? And then what can people listening who want to be supportive do outside of, you know, rocking Pride Tape on their sticks, which we even see kids that we know through Instagram, they are wearing Pride Tape. And I think that's super important. But maybe just give something that our listeners can do to show their support that's helpful. Like, is it as simple as wearing a rainbow shirt or attending Pride Night? Or, you know, what can people do?
I think it's aligning yourself with local organizations that, like I mentioned earlier, are doing all the heavy lifting. I mean, we're very grateful of the praise, but there's a lot of organizations and people out there doing what I call the hard work, whether it's on ice or in a community center or in the school. Mm-hmm. But I think continuing, you know, to support and use Pride Tape and organizations that feel the same way about inclusion in their communities, I think that's really important. We were really excited that when, you know, if they did autograph stick nights with Pride Tape that they were giving to local organizations in their cities, like the Detroit Red Wings, for instance, you know, wow, provided the proceeds of the auction to a local group that said that, you know, quite honestly, it's really, really difficult. And then, you know, there's other groups that we're connected to, like the inclusive hockey teams, you know, certainly in my neighborhood, there's, you know, the Edmonton Rage and the Calgary Pioneers, but there's also Vancouver and Halifax and New York and Chicago and Madison and all that are working really hard to bring everyone into the game. And we had a great conversation with Boston Pride Hockey before Christmas, who are having their upcoming, at the end of this month, having their pond hockey tournament in Vermont, which sounds really cool. Really wanted to go there. But, you know, chatted about to what you were saying, you know, what do you need? How can we help? When you start talking it through, you find out that it's actually not much, you know, like, okay, it's It's not a lot of money they're looking for, but they still need it and they still need help. So we're trying to, you know, work with others, the NHL and their sponsors, to try and get some of these events off the ground. Joey and Steven in Seattle have an amazing Pride tournament. Their first was last year in the summer, and they're having their second this year. And then I chatted on Friday with the Calgary Pioneers about the Western Cup and the LGBTQ plus tournament that they have, which was, I think, the first. And again, just trying to figure out, it's really about, I guess, connecting dots, connecting people. And again, this is so funny that it comes back to the book about, you know, search for teammates and find friends. Finding the people that can help contribute to these really important events that are already happening because people are already putting in the hard work. So it's just, you know, they need a little bit of support, and we want to try and help them in any way that we can to do that.
Does that mean like some of the fans can maybe petition their team or email their, you know, ticket representative if they don't already have a Pride night? Do all the teams in the NHL have a Pride night? I don't think so, right?
If not, it's pretty close. Whether it's a Pride game or a Hockey Is for Everyone game. I think from our understanding, it's pretty much it. Everyone does. And, but again, I
that's
think
good
it's,
then.
It's connecting, and they do a great, yeah, it's very good. And again, it's doing what they're already doing, which is again, connecting to those local organizations, those local Pride organizations that need help, raising money, putting on their own events. But again, I will say that our experience is that they're doing all the hard work and they're doing it already, you know. But if you don't know about them, you know, look for the local inclusive hockey team in your market. There's so many more. St. Louis reached out to us before Christmas. They just started up. And again, I mentioned Halifax, which is my most, if you look at it on Instagram, it's my most fun hockey logo of all time. I love the little muscle with the stick with Pride tape on it. I love what they did. But so, you know, as far as other things, you know, the book mentioned it's the first in the series of the NHL's Declaration of Principles. You know, it's acceptance, courage, humility, integrity, passion, perseverance, respect, and teamwork. I know them all off by heart now. So, you know, if it goes well and we can get enough books out there to kids and their parents, then we'll do the next one, courage, right, which we're looking forward to. And so again, I think the traction you can have with stories is really important. Because look exactly what you're doing, right? You're in the business of storytelling, and I think that's where the power is. Mm-hmm. You know, when I talked to John Cooper, one of the first out professional hockey players, he's the goalie in Denmark, really nice person. We chatted a few years ago, and one of the things that he said to me that stuck with me was, I tell my story so that it gives people the courage to tell theirs. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's kind of what we are hoping to achieve here, is if we can put some stories out there that resonate with people, that make them connect, you know, that talk about larger umbrella overarching issues like acceptance and courage, etc., then hopefully other people will want to go. It was fun. I talked to some elementary schools before Christmas, and the kids were so engaged. Like they all want to go and make their own book now. And it's like, good. I hope that there's, you know, I hope there's hundreds of thousands of books that make a difference out there. So, you know, with the NHL having us come to New York and read to the kids from the Rangers, Devils, and Islanders program, it was absolutely amazing. And I got, you know, we left it for questions and answers, and the kids absolutely stumped me on so many of them. Like, well, it's like, I'm not ready for this, but they're so thoughtful and so smart and so conscientious. I think that, you know, we're in good hands. We always say our future is brighter, and oftentimes we don't have, you know, with Pride Tape, it's the issues aren't with the kids, it's with the parents. But that's another story for another time. But we say, again, one of the things I've learned the most, and talking to my friends who are coaches in the NHL, Jamie Compan with the Panthers, and he was win a did win a cup with your Chicago Blackhawks, Rachel. So I have to give that plug. And Bill Ranford of the LA Kings. We talk about talent and character, and we say now, like, talent is table stakes. Like, you got to be at a certain caliber to play, you know, to raise up to a high level in the game. But it's character that is even far more important now. And one of the lines that I thought of in just coming up with the book and afterwards talking to people is that talent gets you in the room, character keeps you there. And I think we see that a lot with the junior, you know, players that are going to be go up into the and drafted into the NHL and those interviews and how important they are. And it's not all about talent like it was when I was growing up. Now it's about character and what do these players stand for. And certainly with what you're both doing and what social media does for the players to learn more about what they support, what they believe in, that stuff matters. Character is huge, more than ever. So again, what can we do to help tell those stories?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head with the importance of character, especially now. And we support you and everything you're doing. And we will make sure to include a link to get the book for both Canada and the US to purchase Who is Hockey? Who's Hockey?
Did feel like the title, because again, we met with some folks earlier on that were like, not sure about the title, not sure about the character, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to stick to our heart on this one. But we felt that hockey is a who even more than a what, you know. It is that character, it is those declaration of principles from the NHL that make you that try and, you know, make sure that people understand that who you are as a person will get you a lot further than even your talents will. And I think the road is what I've heard from my friends in the game very close to it, is that the road is littered unfortunately, with individuals that had all the talent in the world that were, but maybe just didn't have the characteristics that would, you know, say make them good for the room or whatever. So be kind and be thoughtful and conscientious. And I think we'll go far and we'll be in better places. I know a lot of negative things are out there and have happened in the hockey world and beyond. Mm-hmm. But again, our goal is to come at this with positivity and align with people like yourselves that really care about the game and growing the game, you know, to a better place.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff, for the story and obviously the actual physical story. Love the books. Go get it where you can. We'll post it in our blog and we'll shoot a link probably on the story too as well.
Yeah.
Because we can do that. So yeah, now we're going to get to
my favorite. I'm like I'm almost more excited to hear about Lainey Wilson than I was about Hillary Knight. How was the concert?
I died.
But you are revived, thank God.
I love Lainey Wilson. I love Lainey Wilson. I love Lainey Wilson. That's all I'm going to say. I had the VIP experience. My cousin Caitlin went with me. My mom was going to go, but then my mom, she was like, what's her name? Delaney. And I was like, you're not going.
No,
you're not going. You're not going. My cousin Caitlin did not know who she was either. Yeah. She didn't know who she was either, but she wanted to hang out with me. And so we did. And so I had the VIP experience. Mm-hmm. I got a autographed poster. Actually, two of them.
No.
Yeah, an autographed poster. I'm going to hang up. I have two of them because I had two tickets, right? So I'm going to hang them side by side in like a frame. And that's going to be a part of the new studio pod. So stay tuned for that. I don't know where my other things went. Oh, hold on.
She's wearing a Lainey Wilson shirt as well, if you're not watching the video version. So I've got a little songs
called Pipe.
Pipe.
Yeah, it's from her first album. But my favorite song off of her new album is called Wildflowers and Wild Horses. So, and one of my favorite lines is that is I push like a daisy through all sidewalk cracks, and that she's made of a fifth of Jack, because I'm definitely made of a fifth of Jack. Let's just be real. So I'm gonna get that probably tattooed on me, but
I
I
love it.
just ordered some daisies and I'm gonna put it in my little fifth of Jack, and it'll be a part of my set back there when my little Grinch tree leaves. So sneak
Brilliant.
peek. Sneak peek there. So yeah, this is one of my favorite songs from her old album. And then I have been seeing her crew wear this one shirt, and I've been trying to find it and I couldn't find it anywhere. But they had it at the show and I had to buy it. I bought three shirts.
It says Lainey expletive Wilson. Yeah, it's amazing.
I definitely don't curse. But this is just really funny for me to wear.
Oh yeah.
So
Well, come on, Ringo, come join the party.
anywho,
Everything's fine. What's the third shirt?
the third shirt was just a tour shirt, still amazing.
Is it the bell
It's
bottom one?
yeah,
Okay.
yeah. So, VIP experience, I was like, I think we were like the 10th person in line. So I was right up at the barricade, and like some guy walks over and he goes, "All right, you guys are gonna do a Q&A session with her. So a few housekeeping rules, just like raise your hand, she'll call on you. Don't like all speak at once." And we're like, "Okay." And he goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, Lainey Wilson." And she walked out right in front of me and my jaw dropped. I was like, and I like kind of like took, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. And I kind of like sat back and I like quickly looked at my cousin Caitlin, and she had the exact same face, but like Caitlin doesn't listen to country music, right? And I stared at her the entire time. She played two acoustic songs. She did a Q&A session, or like she called on people and she kept going, "What you got? What you got?" She's
Did you ask
amazing.
a question?
I did not, because I couldn't think of like a good question to ask her, because like everyone else was doing like super like deep questions. And my cousin Caitlin was going to ask her if she's ever wrestled a gator, but then like she like got scared because everyone was asking really deep questions, and like it was like war questions, like my brother's out in Nepal for war,
Oh,
can you like say happy
jeez.
birthday to him, or like you help me through like X, Y, and Z. And it
Oh,
was a lot of like
man.
also like Yellowstone questions, because she's obviously in Yellowstone. But I
All
just
right, it
couldn't think
wasn't
of
the vibe.
anything. It wasn't the
Yeah.
vibe. And then like a lot of shows before, they said like a group photo, and like a lot of people were taking like individual photos. So I was like, oh my God, if I'm gonna meet her, like I gotta like, I was so nervous the entire day. I had to like take a shot to like calm my nerves. And I'm sitting at my cousin's house, like, because I had to drive from one cousin's to the other, because it was 2 hours. I was staying, that was in Chico. I was staying in like
Right.
Davis. So we drove from Davis to Chico. I was freaking out the entire car ride. Then I had to eat because like we didn't eat at all. And then then we had to drive, like it was like a 10-minute drive from my cousin's to the Senator Theater. And let me tell you though, people up in Chico, they're very nice, but like people were trying to get into a fight. There's three fights that were breaking out around me, and one group of girls, they turned out to be like a mean girl group, and they were like screaming at this other girl to take her hat off. You're going to a Lainey concert. People wear hats at Lainey
Yeah.
concerts. Lainey wears hats. So, wasn't a cool vibe. And I also got very annoyed by a group of like men who were like in their 40s, because they were like screaming at each other that they were too old to be there, and then like broing out. And I'm like, I can't even
Then,
hear her.
yeah, shut up. Shh, shh.
But Lainey was amazing. She looked good. She sounded good. I have so many videos. I was gonna hold off on posting them because I didn't want to like ruin it for you,
Yeah,
but
I just
you
didn't
definitely
I
have to
didn't
go.
turn the sound on.
Oh
Like
man.
I saw you posted some stuff and I was like, oh, and I was like, oh my God, she's so freaking close. Lainey's so beautiful. Her voice, I could listen to her talk now, like you said, like how many episodes ago? Like I could listen to her talk with that accent. I can't even do that accent. I'm already planning my outfit. I bought my tickets. I got a friend to go. I was gonna go without her, without anybody. I didn't care. I am pretty sure I know what I'm gonna wear. I'm not sure. Do I need to buy a Lainey Wilson shirt before I go to the concert, or do I buy
No.
one at the concert?
At the concert. Buy one at the
Okay.
concert. Yeah. 'Cause she doesn't really have like anything like good online, but like she's got
Okay.
good like merch at, I mean, We could be twinsies. Yeah. You should get this one. It has like lyrics on the back.
Okay. All right. I don't know what I'm going to get, but
I also
know
got a koozie. I think it's downstairs. Oh, like it's her middle finger because it's like she has a song called Middle Finger. And it's
that's so really cool. Funny. That song is so funny.
It is so funny.
I love it. But I might have to get that too.
It's like a rainbow like koozie. It was $5. And I was like, while I'm here, I've already spent like, because her shirts are kind of expensive just because it's like female vocalist of the year in my life. I love Lainey mm-hmm. Wilson.
What's the song Boots? I don't know if it's called Boots, but it's about her dad's boots.
It's about her dad. Yeah. She sang an acoustic version of that in the VIP. And then she sang the acoustic version of Never Say Never because she wasn't going to have it in the lineup.
Okay. Oh my God. I wish I don't know how I could get a VIP experience. I'm going to have to look at the, because the tickets were sold out. So I bought off of StubHub, and then I'm going to have to see what the local radio stations are doing. If they're giving away chances to win tickets or like mm-hmm. win access to the VIP. So I'm going to have to see what I can do, but I am like so excited. I am going to make my friend go early. She's not going to like that probably, but we're going to be there pretty early or I'm going to make her come up to the front with me. I want to be as close to her as possible. And I'm pretty sure the venue I'm going to is small AF. So
yeah, this one was pretty small, but it was an old movie theater, like an old movie theater that they like had ripped out seats on, but it was big. Right. There was like a balcony, which like I don't understand why people were sitting on the back, because you were sitting in seats in the balcony.
Who wants to sit down?
But then be like on the floor, because it was all general admission, like there wasn't assigned seating. But on the floor towards the very back, there was more seats. But like the paint was kind of coming off the walls, and like it kind of smelled. The guy in front of me, he goes, "Man, when I heard she was playing at the Senator, I felt bad for her because I was like, man, the carpet smells." It was a little stinky in there, not gonna lie,
but like just think how lucky we are. I haven't seen her yet, but I'm like, think how lucky we are that we're gonna get to see her in such a small venue close.
Oh yeah.
Forget it, guys. She's gonna be world touring, and she is. She's going with is she on tour with Luke Combs this summer?
Luke Combs, yeah. And I'm gonna go.
And he's sold out everywhere.
I'm going to the Luke Combs show in Nashville, and
you lucky dog.
I'm going for Lainey mostly.
Right.
But we're sitting kind of hot. I think the tickets I ended up getting were off of StubHub, and it's in like a 300 level box.
Whoa.
At the Nissan Stadium, because like that's like kind of like a cheaper ticket that I had seen, that like, because everything else was ridiculous, and I was like kind of scared because I was like, they weren't like in my StubHub account, it said it was going to get delivered 2 days before the show,
right?
And then I got an email from like the ticket person who like forwarded me the emails, and it was someone at Vanderbilt University, so I was like,
oh. Okay,
so it might be a box.
Okay. Yeah.
In a Vandy box, that's kind of sick.
You're gonna have a good experience. Stay tuned for that, folks.
I'm going for Lainey, and I'm hoping that she's gonna play the Grand Ole Opry the night before, because then that'd be Preds game, Opry, Luke Combs,
dead.
And that's just a great time.
I'm dead for you.
I know.
I can't wait to see. I'm so excited. I have had any time I'm in the car. Spotify Lainey Wilson. I'm like
Lainey Wilson.
Memorizing lyrics. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what did she say there? I'm like, I'm about to start reading lyrics off the damn internet so I can memorize and sing along. Because that's
her set list is out there. So I can send you her set list so you can learn songs if you want.
No, I just like to be surprised. Like, I like to be like, what's she playing next?
Well, she does play my favorite song. So,
okay, good.
And it's amazing. Oh.
Anyway, good. I'm glad you had a good time. I knew you would. We have to talk about one other small thing, and that is Alexander Skarsgård. He's an actor, and he was seen at Madison Square Garden kissing the one and only Henrik Lundqvist, who was then smooched by Ryan Reynolds, and I could have died there.
I don't know who was luckier, Ryan or Henrik. Those are the only two I really care about.
Okay, Alexander Skarsgård is like the most beautiful human being. He was in the series True Blood on HBO, and he's been in Big Little Lies. I don't know. There's something about him that I am like holy hell, there's like this charisma thing there that just gets me. And I wish I could have been Henrik Lundqvist, like, and smooched by both of those men on the cheek. Like, how do I make that happen for me? But this story that I have to tell is about Alexander. When I lived in LA, as you do when you live in LA, you see celebrities in the wild. You just do.
But it's, like, but it's not that common. So people who come to LA and they're like, I'm going to see celebrities everywhere. It's not like that either.
It's not. And it is at the same time. Like,
depending on where you are in the area.
Exactly. But they don't normally like really like go out in public. Not like in New York where you like, you walk everywhere and like you see people. Like, I feel like in New York, you see more celebrities than you do in LA. But either way, I was hiking Griffith Park, total basic LA. And I was on my way down the hill.
That's where you're going to see celebrities. Runyon Canyon. That's Runyon where you're going to see.
Or Griffith Park. And so coming up the hill is this tall, beautiful, statuesque man. He's running up a hill. First of all, I don't run up hills. I walk up hills and I have to stop when I get to the top and catch my breath. I'm like, cardio is a bitch, man. He's running up a hill. And I'm like, wow, look at that beautiful man coming towards me. And as he's coming towards me, I'm like, that's Alexander Skarsgård. And I turn and he runs past me. And I'm like, oh my God, should I go run up the hill past him and stop him and be like, you're beautiful, I'm obsessed with you. And I didn't, but I was like, holy shit, that was Alexander Skarsgård. He's like very tall and like statuesque and has this sort of energy about him. And I was like, oh, I should go back. But then I was like, let's be real, Rachel, you can't, like, you're never going to catch him. He's running up a hill. I'm like, that's, you're not. Funny.
That's so. Kind of how I felt about Lainey Wilson when I saw her. I was like,
this is Lainey Wilson. Oh my God.
And when he was running away, it probably felt the exact same way. I was like, I'm driving away from Lainey Wilson. I can't handle this.
Exactly. I was like, I should go back. I should go. I need to go. What are you going to do? I look like a wet dog after walking up a hill in LA, let alone.
We have big hills, not going to lie.
They are steep inclines. It's not like a joke. Mm-hmm. It's not flat. So anyway, that's my Alexander Skarsgård story. So
wow, I do not have one. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Now I just got to have a Ryan Reynolds story. That'll be complete.
Don't we all wish we had a Ryan Reynolds story?
Thanks for coming over to our House of Hockey podcast and hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Just look for House of Hockey podcast. We'll be back next week.